Mark chapter 7, have your Bibles tonight and we'll turn please, book of Mark chapter number 7. Certainly desire your prayers that the Lord would help us tonight. Had these thoughts on my heart for several days now. Want to try our best to be mindful of Him and give you what's on our heart from heaven tonight. Mark chapter number 7. When you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the precious Word of God. The Gospel of Mark chapter number 7. I want to begin reading in verse number 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. When she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I've thought over the last few days, these verses have been on my heart and several others that we'll probably look at tonight. I thought about last Wednesday night, we tried to preach about the home and the warfare that's against it. And I said that I didn't think that the focus on the home, I didn't really know what the Lord wanted or how He would do it. But I feel like the mindset or the focus is still partially there tonight. And I've thought over the last couple of days about the children. And I thought that I would preach tonight and probably will, at least in part, on going after the Lord for the children. But then we come in tonight and we begin in before the altar of prayer to talk about these objects of these people that are not children and how they need God. And as I was standing here and it had already come to my mind last night and again today and then again while we were taking prayer objects tonight, I sat in a congregation at one time and heard a dear man of God stand behind the sacred desk and preach a message on somebody, go get the Lord. And I think in this day, if there's ever been a time that we need to go after God, it's in this day we're living in. And not just for our children, though they need it, and though that may be the emphasis tonight, for it's on my heart in three different places in the Gospels where parents went after God for their children's sake. But not just for our children, but for our homes and our families and our churches and our country. Somebody needs to go get the Lord. He's still available. He's still accessible. Many would have us to believe that because we're living in the last days that He's not dealing anymore. But I don't find that anywhere in the Word of God. And we've seen in the last few services that God's still interested in His people. If we as the people of God would just get interested in Him again, enough to go after Him for our kindred and our kind. Yes, amen. We live in a selfish generation. We live in a selfish nation where we feel that it's just about us and it's just about our family. But there are people that you requested prayer for that if I'm not willing to go get the Lord for them, then I won't be willing to go get them for mine. And if you're not willing to go for mine, you probably won't be willing to go for yours. But we ought to confirm in our heart and make up our minds tonight that we're willing to do what it takes to go get the Lord for those that need Him tonight. The need for Him is not any greater tonight than it's ever been. We've always needed Him as much as we ever have before. But the need is becoming much more manifest in our day of how much we need Him. And I'll say beyond that, not just is it becoming more manifest how much more we need Him, but it's becoming more apparent in our day how little we can do without Him, that we cannot operate without Him. Oh, we can go through a form and a routine and a fashion, but we can't have church without Him. We can't worship without Him. Salvation will not occur without Him. A revival will not occur without Him. Encouragement will not occur without the encourager coming on the scene. We need Him tonight.
Amen, brother. Yes.
I wonder tonight how desperate we are for Him. America as a whole, the churches as a whole, have lost their desperation for God. We've learned how to play church. And that's all we're doing is playing games.
Yeah,
we've learned how to go through a religious motion, and that's all it is. It's motion without any progress. We are where the children of Israel were that day in the valley of Elah when the Philistines were on one side and the children of Israel on the other. And the Bible said they had set the battle in array, army against army. But the Bible said there was no forward motion. One stayed on one side and the other stayed on the other, and they were content to stay there as long as things didn't get any worse than they already were. We're in that day where the church is well dressed. We have nice buildings. We have padded pews. We have all the fine things, and there's nothing wrong with all that. I believe the church house ought to be the nicest place of any of us. It ought to be a reverential place, a place that's respected and taken care of. And thank God for those that do, what they do to make this place look like it looks. But if all we have is a building, and all we have is pews, and all we have is people, we're doing nothing to do any good for God. Need the power of God. Somebody needs to go get the Lord. It's amazing to me that it is, the mindset is so pushed upon the church in our day, and I'm just preaching from my heart tonight, but the mindset is so pushed on the church that one person can't make a difference. But in every record that I'll reference tonight and everything that God's been working in my heart, it was one person, one individual, and not just a man. Sometimes it was a woman that went and got God for her children or his children, and God worked and God moved and God responded for one. I thought about just a few chapters back in Mark chapter 5, there's a father who was desperate to go get the Lord. He was going through the crowd that day, and everybody wanted to talk to him. Everybody was interested in him. Everybody wanted to touch him. Everybody wanted to be touched by him. And the Bible does not record so much that he went seeking Jairus, but it said that Jairus came and besought him. The Bible reads that he sought the Lord. That he did whatever it took, pressed his way. We focus on the woman with the issue of blood, but the scene never changed. The crowd was always there, and we kind of slight Jairus about how he had to push through the crowd, how he had to fight his way through, but nothing would stop him. He needed God. He was desperate. And he went seeking after the Lord. I wonder if we're desperate enough to seek him for who we need him to go after. Jairus wasn't seeking him for himself. He was seeking for somebody that needed him far worse than Jairus did. Oh, I'm sure Jairus could use a little encouragement. Oh, I'm sure he could have used to pick me up. I'm sure he was discouraged. I'm sure he was down and out. Oh, but there was somebody in worse shape than he was. I'm going to tell you, I'm not belittling your problems. We all have our problems. We all have our troubles. But if you know somebody that you love that's lost without God, and that's the type of his daughter, she was dying. And Jairus said, if you don't come touch her, she'll die without you. And I'm telling you, we know people, pass them on a daily basis, talk to them every day on the phone, that are in far worse shape than we are and in far more need of God than we are. I understand that we need him, and I don't want to slight that at all. We must have him. But what I'm saying tonight is that there's somebody that's going to die if we don't go get him. And Jairus didn't come. Now the Bible said he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a well-respected man. He was a religious man. Probably a man that everybody knew and that everybody looked up to, and a man that was well reverenced in the community. And he had probably had everybody that he could to try to help his daughter. Probably had every doctor that money could buy to help his daughter, but nobody could help her. In human nature, it would have been very easy for Jairus to have walked up to the Lord and whispered in his ear in the background and said, would you come home with me? My daughter needs your help. Or in his pride could have asked the Lord to step over to the side away from the crowd so nobody could hear and say, I need your help, but I don't want anybody to know because of who I am and my position. But none of that mattered to him. He could have cared less what people thought or what his title was. It all went out the window when the call came that his daughter was dying. He didn't try to cover anything up. He didn't say, my daughter's in pretty bad shape and it'd be good if you could come home with me, but if you don't want to, that's okay. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't spend an hour trying to get to the thought. I believe the Bible said he besought him, and when he came to him, the Bible said he fell down his feet and besought him greatly. That means he cried out, my little daughter, alive at the point of death, would you come and lay your hands on her? That she may live. We're too busy in this day in our church world that we try to cover everything up and play it all down. And we've played sin down to where it don't even matter anymore. And we've played the lost souls of humanity down to where we don't lose sleep. And I'm preaching, I say we. I wonder when the last time we lost an hour of sleep over somebody that's died without God and headed to hell. You say they're young. That doesn't matter. So was she. But death was on her trail. And it's on the sinner's trail, and we need God.
Yes, brother. Amen.
But we're not too desperate anymore. We come into the house of God and we want him to move and hope that he moves. But when's the last time that we spent a portion or period of the day, every day leading up to the next service, begging God to show up? Telling God that we were desperate, begging him to come with us. Jairus said, I know all these other people need you, but he said, my daughter's going to die. Please come to my house.
Yes.
Wonder when the last time we said, Lord, we're going to church tonight. Would you please come to our house? I wonder when the last time on Tuesday, after Sunday's done past, and your world's a reeling and a rocking, and you got little boys and girls, children and grandchildren, husbands and wives, sons and daughters, that are dying without God. I wonder when the last time you fell on your face and said, Lord, it's good for you to go to church, but I'm not at church right now. I'm at my house. Come to my house.
Yeah.
Some of the most blessed words ever recorded in Mark's gospel, when Jairus falls on his face and beseeches him, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay your hands on her that she may live. And in the midst of that big congregation where everybody there needed something that day, the words are recorded, and he went with him. Ain't that an amazing thought? That he left all them others behind and he went for one. I heard a dear preacher, Brother Ronnie Jones, preach a message one time on He'll Come for Just One. And so there's no need for us to get discouraged about numbers, whether they're up or whether they're down. If we mean business, He'll come for one, and one's enough for Him. The Bible said that there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. I've been in services where more than one got saved, and I've been in services where one got saved. And I'm going to tell you, heaven's bells rung just as loudly when there's just one as there was when there's 100. It doesn't matter to God. One matters to Him, and He'll come for just one. But I wonder how desperate we are. I wonder if we're willing to fall at his feet again and beseech him greatly. Could care less what others think. Could care less what the brethren think. Now, I'm not talking about being boastful and arrogant or prideful. I'm talking about it just not mattering. It didn't matter to Jairus if there were religious men there, if he lost his reputation, if he lost his occupation. It didn't matter to him. He needed God. We're in a day where we worry too much about our dignity. We worry too much about our pride. We worry too much about what others think. And we worry too much about what the people will say. And we worry too much about acceptance from the brethren. And I'm telling you, all that needs to go out the window. And we need to get desperate for God again and do whatever it takes to get His attention. He passed by a man one day that sat by the highway side begging. And he started crying out. All that commotion, no doubt, probably sat at that side of the road many days before and had never heard such a commotion like what was coming down the road on this day. And he inquired as to what was going on. And they said, Jesus is passing by. And deep down inside his heart, something said, this is your chance. He's a passing by. And I'm telling you tonight, if the winds of heaven ever blow over your soul and bring you to prayer like we preached about Sunday, there'll be something inside you that said, this is your chance. This is it. Cry out while he's passing by. And he began to cry, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You say that wasn't much. Oh, his cry never changed. But it sure did get the Lord's attention. We worry too much when we go. And I don't mean to get back on prayer again, but it's here. And we go to pray and we worry too much about what we're going to say. Just speak what's in your heart. That's what Bartimaeus did, and that's what got the Lord's attention. And he cried out, and they said, "Be quiet. Don't bother him. You're a blind man. You're a beggar. He don't have no interest in you." But the Bible said he cried the more, a great deal, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And some blessed words in Bartimaeus' story are recorded. And Jesus stood still. Oh, the procession on in my mind. I may get far out there sometimes, but it blesses my heart, so you ought to get on board with me. In my mind, I see Jesus stopping and all the processional carrying on, and people turn around saying, "Hold on, he stopped about 10 steps back," and everybody's wondering, what is he doing as he stands there in silence? And I think in sovereignty and with supreme authority, he turns in Bartimaeus' direction, and that same way, I don't have no Bible for it, but I don't have none against it. The same one that told him to be quiet, I think the Lord looked at him and said, "Go tell him I want to see him." Yeah. And they come and get him by the hand. And he's thinking, now I'm still in my head, all right. He's thinking that something bad's fixing to happen because he didn't listen to what they had said, because he don't know what's going on. He can't see, by the way. But they said, "Rise, be of good comfort." That means I think there was unrest inside him, thinking I disobeyed. They're going to whip me or put me in prison. But he said, "Rise, be of good comfort. He calleth thee." And I think Bartimaeus said, "Me? He's calling me? What does he want with me? Maybe I should have been quiet. Maybe I should have listened." But he got down there where Jesus was. And I don't know what he does. He probably falls on his knees. He probably begs for mercy. And the Lord says, "What wilt thou that I should do for thee?" And something inside Bartimaeus said, "This is it, boy. You better ask for what you need. I wonder about you this evening. When have you, the Lord passed by?" And something in your heart when you prayed said, "He's listening. You've got his attention. Ask for what you need." He said, "Lord, I'd just like to receive my sight." And the Bible said Jesus touched him and gave him his sight. And the writer of the psalm said, "If you don't believe me, ask the blind man. He saw it all." I'm telling you, you can have what you need tonight. You can find God tonight. If you seek him, he will be found. But he said, "Call upon him while he's near and seek him while he may be found." And I'm in a good notion to say he'd be easy to find tonight. If you're desperate. But what if something happens? What if something stands in our way? What if there's some obstacle that we don't see that suddenly, as we're trying to seek for him, what if it comes up in the way? Will we stop? I thought about the story we read tonight, and I felt compelled to read from Mark's gospel tonight, but it's recorded also in Matthew chapter 15 in more detail than in Mark's gospel. Here's this woman, and she's not coming for herself, and she's not seeing her husband, but she's got a daughter that's plagued by a devil, and nobody can help her but the Lord, and she's seeking him for her daughter. And she says, "Lord, will you have mercy on me and touch my daughter?" And in her mind, she's got it all played out. She's heard all these stories about the compassion maybe that he had on Bartimaeus, and the compassion on the lepers, and the compassion on the maniac at Gadara, and all of those. And she thought, if he would do that for them, he'll surely do it for me. And I'm telling you tonight, he will. But that don't mean there may not be some obstacles that stand in your way. It may not go like you think it will. She said, Lord, my little daughter is vexed with the devil. Would you come and touch her? And he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I read in Mark's gospel that she was a Greek and a Syrophoenician by nature, which meant that she was a Gentile and not a Jew. And what the Lord was saying to her, in our terminology, whether we like it or not, the Lord knew what he was doing. But what he was saying in our terminology is, I've not come to help you, I've come to help them. Yeah. You're not in my category, is what the Lord was saying. But it was a test to see how desperate she really was. And it wasn't that the Lord didn't know, but maybe she just wasn't desperate enough yet. But by the end of the story, she gets desperate enough, because it's not just an obstacle, but now it's somebody's opinion. I wonder how many times I let somebody's opinion of me stand in my way of getting where he is. She said, if you can do anything, just have mercy on us. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now he's called her a dog.
That's right.
Now she's found out that maybe he don't think as much of her as she thought he did, but he does. And she gets awful desperate. She says, truth, Lord. In this scripture, she said, yes, Lord. In our mountain church terminology, she says, amen, Lord. I am a dog, and I know I am. And I knew it was a long shot to come here today, but she said, I just ain't got no more hope but you. And the Bible said that he heard her faith, and he said, daughter, by faith this day, he said, whatsoever you will, it shall be done for you. He didn't say, I don't want to get it wrong, I want to read it in Matthew chapter 15. He said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. He said, whatever you want, it's yours. Oh, she didn't know. In Mark's gospel, it's recorded that she came alone. The daughter's back home. But she believed. Though she had not yet, I think this come up on Sunday, though she had not yet seen the evidence, she believed that he had answered her prayer. And the Bible said when she got to her house, she saw that the daughter's devil was gone, and she laid on the bed. I read a story one day about somebody coming to the Lord for somebody, and they left them back at the house, and the Lord honored their faith. And when they came back, it had happened, and the Bible said they inquired as to the hour, and it was the same hour that the Lord said, be it unto thee. How desperate are we? We're going to let some things stand in our way. Some obstacle. Somebody's opinion. We're going to let other people. I wonder if we're going to let other people stand in our way. The Bible said when she come, the disciples, must have been something to her look. The disciples knew right away she was no Jew. And the Bible said they besought him that he would send her away. But it didn't stop her. I heard a story one time, and I'm not much of a storyteller, you know, but I keep feeling it in my heart. I felt a minute ago and thought, no, I won't tell it, but it's come back up again. About an old businessman in the community that the old man of God come and preached. And the businessman was too proud. He knew he needed God, but he's too proud because of what everybody thought about him and where he was. He's going to let all them things stand in his way of getting born again. And so he come to the preacher after the meeting was over. He said, I want to be saved. And the preacher, old man of God, in his wisdom and discernment from the Lord, said, all right then. He said, that businessman was dressed in a fine suit, looked the best of anybody in the meeting. He said, that's good. Let's just go while you're in this nice suit and these nice shine shoes. Let's just take a trip to the hog pen. If you'll go to the hog pen, you can get saved. He said, I'm not going to the hog pen. I'm a businessman. I'm revered in the community. Look what I have on. And the old man of God said, that's fine. Just die and go on to hell then if you're not going to go to the hog pen. The next night, come to his house after church was over, said, I want to be saved. He said, all right, let's go to the hog pen. He got angry. He said, I'm not going to no hog pen. You can forget it. He said, well, just die and go on to hell then. You say, preacher, that's harsh. No, that preacher had been alone with God and he knew what he was doing. A few nights passed and the old man, I think I said maybe his name was Billy. Old Billy never come for the next few nights, and the preacher probably wondered if maybe he had missed God and said something wrong. But about 3 o'clock in the morning, one morning, knock come on the preacher's door. The preacher went to the door and looked, and there's Billy in his three-piece suit and nice tie and got rubber boots on up to his knees. He said, Billy, what are you doing with them boots on? He said, I've come to go to the hog pen. He said, you didn't have to go to the hog pen. You just had to get willing to. And the Bible said, the man said, they knelt right there and got saved on the porch. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that the first night when he come, he wasn't desperate and he wasn't going to get it. And the next night, he still wasn't desperate enough and he probably wasn't going to get it. But when he got willing to go to the hog pen or do whatever it took, that's when God was going to give it to him. Sometimes we get discouraged when things don't happen like we think they ought to. Things look hopeless. The Lord come down off the mountain one day. I'm done tonight. And he saw this man inquiring with his disciples. And he said, why speak ye with them? He said, my son is a lunatic and he's possessed with devils. He said, oft times it's thrown him in the water, oft times in the fire. He foameth and walloweth and gnasheth his teeth. And he said, I came to your disciples and they could not help him. I'm going to tell you, there's some days in our life that things just look pretty hopeless. And days in our life where we feel we've been let down. That's what that man was saying. He said, I've heard about all these men. I've heard what they've done. I've heard what you've done. And they've not been able to help me. But he got a hold of one that day that never would let him down. And I'm telling you tonight, as much as I love you, there are going to be many days if I've not already, and I probably have, I'm sure I have. But if I've not, I'm going to let you down. I'm going to fail to be what I ought to be. And there have been days I've failed to be the pastor and the preacher and failed to get a hold of God like I ought to and pray for you like I ought to. And I've let you down. But I'm preaching about one tonight that he never has and he never will let anybody down. Will we seek him? We can't get our eyes on the church, and we can't get our eyes on the world. We can't get our eyes on the crowd and on the congregation. We can't even get our eyes on the preacher. We got to keep our eyes on Him.
Yeah,
everybody else will let you down. Your husband will let you down. Your wife will let you down. Your best friend, your preacher, whoever it is, they'll always let you down. But the Lord never will. We need to seek Him again. We're in the last days. Believe that with all my heart. You just read this book. Don't take much common sense to see what's going on around us. And I think now more than ever, the Scripture applies to call on Him while He's near. Seek Him while He may be found. Time is running out. Them people you meet every day at work that you care about, that you know they're lost and they don't know any better. It's time to seek the Lord for them. That husband or wife, mama or daddy, son or daughter or grandson that you love and lay awake at night sometimes thinking about their soul, it's time to get down to business and seek Him for them. Those that we talked about tonight that came up in prayer request time, it's time to get down to business and seek God for them. As we stand all over the house tonight, if God spoke to your heart, if He's moved on you in any way to seek Him while He may be found and call on Him while He's near, would you come tonight and talk to Him? Seek Him one more time. You say, I went before and asked before, won't we come again? Say, I prayed before, won't you pray again? Are we desperate? Are we determined no matter what obstacle lies in the way, no matter how many others may stand in our path, no matter what it takes, we got to have Him for our kindred and our kind. We need Him tonight. I need Him. You need Him. The church needs Him. The community needs Him. Our homes need Him. Our children need Him. Our families need Him. The neighbors need Him. The church up the road and down the road, we all need Him. But we can't stand around and wait for somebody else to go get Him. It's time for us to go get Him. Say, Lord, we got a problem. Lord, somebody I love's in trouble. Lord, I'm in trouble. Whatever the need is, won't you go after Him? He'll be found of you. He can come with you. He can follow you home. It don't matter where you go, where you have to go, what the problem is. He can take care of it all. Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, tonight for this privilege, this opportunity to have been able to gather together in Your house tonight with Your people. I thank You, Lord, for each one that's come and for their presence in the house of God tonight. I thank You, Lord, tonight for Your presence and help in the service. Lord, I pray that the Word of God has found its lodging in the hearts of the hearers. Lord, that it's accomplished the purpose that You have set forth for it to do. I pray, O Lord, that You would help us tonight. And do for us, O Lord, that only You can. May we be desperate and determined in these days and not be swayed aside by obstacles and others. But Lord, may we seek You and call on You while You're near and may be found. And know, Lord, that You will be found of us. Thank You, Lord, tonight for all You've done. Thank You for what You're going to do. We ask all we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen.